There is nothing that I draw to your attention this morning from the bulletin, except, of course, in the way of announcements. Calendars for next year are now available. See me about those. And also, I wish to draw your attention to the point that has to do with the monastic home altars, your little home chapels. I do encourage this. I encourage this very much, because I think that in these days and times, many of our religious practices are put aside for lack of any place to go to perform them. And so I encourage you to try to have some place in your houses, in your homes, a place where you have dedicated to holiness, so that you, on entering that area, will feel its holiness. And if you dedicate it correctly, if you look upon it correctly, you will indeed know that that is a place of communication with Almighty God. And thus, it is a holy place, and it will affect you. So, most of us, all of us know about the home altars, and so let us also profit by it. In today's bulletin, once again, as has been the case for many of the bulletins that we've had in recent weeks and months, I bring up Catholic experience. And this morning, we have in our bulletin purity of intention. I read again from this morning's epistle from St. Paul. For our gospel was not delivered to you in word only, but in power also, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much fullness, as indeed you know what manner of men we have been among you for your sakes. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, receiving the word in great tribulation with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became a pattern to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. So that you became a pattern. It is hard to bring this point across to people today, both in the new church and even in many instances in the old church. And that is that we have forgotten how to be Catholic. And those of us who are trying to work by way of the old church and to find our way back to the pattern that was given to us by our forefathers, have in many instances attached our attention to things that have absolutely nothing to do with the reformation of the reformation of our Catholic life. We no longer have before our eyes, let me use this word and understand it when I use it. We no longer have before our eyes the stuff that was before the eyes of those who went before us, that stuff which made saints of them. We don't have it. It's been lost. It's been buried. It's been burned. It's been knocked down and chiseled away and covered over with paint. And those who were commissioned to keep this stuff before our eyes were the ones who took it out and put it on the dung heap. That's saying it plainly, but it is the truth. And we are at a loss as to what we are supposed to be doing in order to save my immortal soul. And in today's bulletin, we hit heavy upon some of the things that we are doing in this attachment that we have to things. And as we look upon these things that we are attached to, that we consider them sure cures for our salvation. You have heard me say in here more than once that in a monastery or in a convent, a monk or a nun can live the monastic life to the letter. That the observance of this individual can be absolutely without flaw, and that superiors can actually point to that individual to others and say, now that is your model. And believe it or not, that person, for all the perfection that is in that person, might be a candidate for hell. And you say, well, how is that possible? It is not in the exterior observation that we find sanctity. And this is what we have gone to in recent years, having forgotten the foundations that our forefathers built for us. We have gone to externalisms, and this is what is preached to us, probably because it is easy to stand before people and talk about external things that will bring about salvation. It's easy to do that. It is not easy to go into the interior man. It is not easy to talk about the interior life. But that's where we have to go if we expect to save our immortal souls. And today, in the bulletin today, you will find a question that is uppermost, I'm sure, in any thinking individual. And that question is, will I be saved, Lord? Now, in recent days, you know all the gobbledygook that has been said and so on and so forth about, you know, faith alone is all you need. Don't have to worry about good works and all that business. Well, I want to say something to you. Take it privately from me. And before God, I stand responsible. Don't try that. Don't try it. Because if you do, when it's too late, you might find out that it didn't work. And in today's bulletin, because, see, we're getting ready for next Sunday's gospel. Next Sunday is the last Sunday after Pentecost. And we will hear tell of the last days of the world. And we will hear warning. And it will be underlined with, do not believe it. Today has to do in our bulletin with purity of intention. The monk that I was speaking of a while ago did not have a pure intention. He was living the letter of the law and lost his soul in the process. It was all an externalism. He was not at all convinced interiorly. And all he was concerned about, or she, all that he was concerned about was his own, that he was to be the beneficiary in this life of his activity. He was not looking toward the next. He wanted to, and he knew that he was living the law perfectly, and that was his ambition in life, living the law correctly. And as we hear in today's bulletin, the horrible words, depart from me, I know you not. We all have family. We all have friends. We all have acquaintances that we're concerned about. But our first concern, and this is not being selfish, again, looking at the purpose for our being here. Why did God make me? God made me to know, love, and serve him. And for me to be with him in eternity. He did not make me to make certain that this one, that one, or the other one save his soul at the expense of my own soul. I can only answer for me. Nobody else. We can pray for our family. We can pray for our friends, for our sons and daughters, our mothers and fathers and relatives. Oh yes, we can pray, and we should. But we cannot make what they are doing such a concern of ours that it will end up costing us our own souls. And this is possible because such activities become causes. And we should avoid causes like the plague. And today, everybody, no matter who you look at, has got among a pet doctor and a pet lawyer and a pet psychiatrist, they've got a pet cause. And they've got to go out to take care of their pets. And in the process, they lose their mortal souls. Look at the saints. They used all the stuff that was presented to them to their advantage. And when they gave the image of humility, it was not painted on them. Humility was not painted on them like a coat of paint. When they gave the image of humility, is because humility was at the very being of these people. And when they gave the image of charity, St. Paul speaks of it so well. If I give out and go out and have my body burned or whatever I do and have not charity, you know the story. When they gave the image of charity, it was not painted on them like a coat of paint. That was only a layer of paint thick. When they gave the image of charity, it meant that charity was at their very being. And they imitated Christ. They did not go about with a banner in their hands saying, look, look, look at me, I am charitable. Christ for 30 years until he broke loose at the age of about 30, lived in a little city called Nazareth. Nazareth, a little town, little country town. It was surrounded probably by, I think it's surrounded by hills, enough to where the area was almost like it was all walled in. And of course, in those days, people did not travel as we do today. And they stayed in their little locality. And being a small town and being locked up in this environment, geographical environment, they were small-minded people. They were not broad-minded. They knew only themselves. And of course, they were extremely nosy people. They knew everybody's business. And they talked about it because they were gossipy people. They loved to gossip. And anything that stood out that was the least fragment different from others soon became a subject of conversation. And here in the midst of them, this person called Jesus grew up. We cannot find one single solitary word of observation from these people concerning this person called Jesus. Not one word. As a matter of fact, later on, when our Lord ran into Nathanael, Nathanael being the kind of man that he was, until our Lord got hold to him, when he first heard of Jesus, what was his observation? Can anything good come from Nazareth? Later on, when they were talking about him, well, look at that man there. Look at what he's doing. Who is he? They didn't even know his name. He's a carpenter's son. That's all they could say about him in description of him. Our blessed Lord lived not at all the exterior life as we define exterior. Our blessed Lord's life was composed entirely interiorly. And this is where we have to bring our lives. If we do not, then everything we do will be of no value. Now you might say, well, I'm not an evildoer. In the eyes of the world, of course you are not evildoers. You haven't gone out and killed anybody. You haven't shot at anybody. You haven't stolen or whatever. You haven't done the big things that will throw you into jail. Of course not. But then how can God look to me and say, the evildoers, depart from me, I know you not. We have been called, regardless, let us not think on what has taken place in our lives in earlier days. Regardless, I could care not. And I say that with the authority of Mary Magdalene herself, and with the authority of the man that was hanging on the cross next to him. I say that with that authority. I care not with what we have done in the past. The only thing that I am concerned is that it is these little things that we do, because we've all been called, we've all been handpicked. We did not select him, he selected us. And by us, I don't mean those of us you see dressed in black. I mean us. He selected us. And because of that, he has given us grace. And it's the little things that he is going to look at. And because we are on I hate to say this because this might sound as though we are putting ourselves up on pedestals, heaven forbid. We are, no matter what kind of pedestal we're looking at, we're all still unprofitable servants. Let us beware of placing ourselves on pedestals. But he has given us grace to be where we are. And to whom he has given much, from him he shall expect much more. That's what I mean. And the little that we do that is not right is not little at all. It's big. And we have to comprehend that. We have to understand that, and we have to let it affect and influence our lives. It doesn't matter what your next door neighbor is telling you. It is the reasonableness. The thing about Catholicism, when we speak of the Catholic experience, is that it is reasonable. It is not something that is far-fetched. It is not something that I, as an individual, have created. Because if that's all that Catholicism is, then every religion you look at outside, and they're without number, then every one of those is valid. There's only one valid. And we better come to know which one it is and what it is expecting of us, what it is preaching to us. Catholicism has always been reasonable, and that is the stuff that was used by the saints to make them saints. All of these people that you see around and about you disagreeing with one another, they get up in the morning disagreeing, they eat dinner disagreeing, they go to bed disagreeing. But all of them have Jesus that they consider to be their leader. Yet with him at the head, every one of these is in disagreement with the other. How can that be? So my beloved people, let us look to the reasonableness of Catholicism. And unfortunately, even amongst our traditional people, you will find splinter that is upon splinter, that comes from splinter, and is splintered again. Let me tell you this, and I quit. This past week, one day, I think it was Friday, we received in the mail, in the same mail, in the one and same mail, three letters, among others, but three letters coming to us from different parts of the world, of the country, from individuals that did not even know each other. And every one of these three letters, every one, was assassinating the character or characters of somebody else. In the name of Jesus Christ. When you come into this church, I'm not saying because it is this church. I would say it of any church, but since we're here, let's speak of here. But when you come into this church, when you walk into this area called church here, in this spot on God's earth, and you come into the presence of who is on that altar, if you do not experience peace and serenity and calmness and safety and security, then there's something that we need to look into. Because that's what it is. Christ wishes only to give you these great gifts. And nothing else on this world matters. wealth, power, fame, whatever, nothing matters. But the gifts that come from that little spot, those are the gifts that matter. And those are the gifts that we must go after. And we have to look at the reasonableness of what has been said, at the reasonableness of what is being presented. And we must seek it and pursue it. And remember this point, that any religion, that is argumentative, is poor religion. If you truly understand and accept and believe that which is in that little golden receptacle on that altar, you cannot be argumentative. You can't do it. And we each must present ourselves. I will tell you, I absolutely will quit after I tell you this little teeny story. We had exposition here about 2 weeks ago, didn't we? It was beautiful. And the sacrifices some of you made are unbelievable. One family drove up all the way from Florida just to make a holy hour, then turned around and went back to Florida. They couldn't make it in time for Mass, but they came on anyway and made a holy hour. But there were some Protestants that came in and made a holy hour. And she, a good woman, is trying to find explanation for this, that, and the other, which is all right. But you want to know something? They were from out of town. She was in this church making her visit. And her husband, who also made a visit with the children. It was time for them to leave. And he was getting uneasy because it was time for them to leave. He couldn't get his wife to go with him. She wouldn't leave. And finally he had to force her to leave. Because there was something here. And he himself said, when I walk into that church, I feel safe. God bless you.